Hey, everybody. Welcome to Radio Radar, a special episode for the Mega Man 25th anniversary. I'm your special host, Henry Gilbert, and I'm here with, also from Games Radar,
Lucas Sullivan,
our special-ish guest from MacLife,
Chris the Hoffman, formerly of Nintendo Power,
and our most special guest from Capcom Unity, an old friend of ours.
Yes. Brett Elston.
Hey, it's Brett. Hey, everybody, it's Brett.
Woo!
Cool boarding. Brett?
Cool bowling.
Bowling.
God.
How
cool boarding's a game, Henry.
I feel like there's already going to be a bunch of negative comments on this now.
But, you've ruined it in 30 seconds.
This is the first... I've hosted a lot of podcasts before, but this is the first Radio Radar I've hosted.
Oh, so wow.
I'm going to be a little nervous. But anyway, so... This, as you may have noticed, this is posted on December 17th, which is the 25th anniversary of the Mega Man franchise.
Correct.
That's He's older than I am. I just realized that.
That's gross.
Lucky.
This is the first day Rockman appeared in Japan on the NES, or I guess the Famicom, right, Brett?
It would be Famicom.
Yeah.
And this continue.
Well, this is an exciting day for Mega Man fans, too, because a free game just came out on PC, right?
Obviously, by now you've likely heard of or seen chatter about Street Fighter Cross Mega Man, which is actually, as of now, out for free on CapcomUnity.com/Mega_Man. It sounds horrible when you say it all out in a row, but as a URL, when you look at it and type it in, it's perfectly reasonable URL. But no, it's that's kind of our Mega Man brand page for Capcom Unity, and all of our franchises have that, Resident Evil, Monster Hunter, etc. But the Mega Man one is where you'll actually go to download the game, and it's just it's an EXE file. It's not like a flash game you play in a window or a browser. It is a file you download. Of course, you can share that as you see fit. It's just a file to distribute, but we would ask that you download it directly from us because then we can track the number of downloads, and that's always useful information for us to have to see how many people have an interest in a free Mega Man game.
I would hope many, many, many people.
There's a goal that I have in my mind, and I would like to see that goal met. But, I mean, the more important thing is, you know, it being on PC and free is it's the easiest possible way to get a quality Mega Man product out to as many people as possible. The most obvious question that keeps coming up is, why not PSN? Why not XBLA? Why not any other platform? And, I mean,
yeah,
the answer is, the answer to me is it's a fairly obvious answer, which is, you know... neither of those platforms are as receptive to free as I mean, PC, like, that's all on us. We host it somewhere, we give it to you, end of transaction. Putting it on a console or any other kind of closed platform requires a lot of extra submissions and work, and Zonghui, who developed the game, not a licensed developer for those platforms. There's a whole other set of things that come into play there.
A lot of red tape.
A lot of red tape, and a lot of the business side that Christian Svensson, our senior VP, and he's the one who actually handled all of the legal maneuvering that had to happen behind the scenes to make this the real deal, because it is an official, actual game.
Yeah, so you mentioned Christian, so what, like, this started with him, well, not with him, it started with...
Zonghui.
Zonghui, but, yeah, how did Street Fighter Cross Mega Man begin? Like,
it was at EVO 2012 is kind of the beginning. I mean, Zonghui started this as a fan project as far back as like 2010, or I think even his original effort was like 2008 or something like that.
Wow.
But like 2010 is when I think YouTube maybe made the rounds, and you know, this was not a completely unknown quantity. You know, I think even now you can probably find the beginnings of it on YouTube. we're not hiding that fact. But then he only was able to work on it, you know, in between school. He's still in school. He's going to his last semester now. Yeah, he actually had to stop work on the game for 2 weeks to work on finals. so to finish.
That's a dedicated band, right?
School's important, everybody. But so at EVO 2012, he actually came up to Christian Svensson at, you know, our little Capcom booth. If you've ever been to EVO, it's similar to a lot of trade shows. There's the main attraction in the front, but in the back there are...
That's in Las Vegas, right?
It is in Vegas. Okay. So we have a little space set up, and he walked up and, you know, found a couple of various Capcom employees, wanted to show them something, and normally, you know, when you work at a show and people walk up and want to show you something, you know, you're like...
Scary proposition.
It's a scary proposition, but it's also like for a lot of legal reasons, and I mean, Christian knows the background of this stuff more than I do, but like, you know, any company that
unsolicited.
You can't accept that stuff, because if 6 years from now we have a game that has any of those ideas, they could be like, hey, you stole those ideas from me. And it's like, no, he didn't. It's like, yeah, I showed you this game, and see, here's a picture of me and you in 1987. And it's like, now we've got it. So legally, you're obligated to cease and desist to stop that kind of thing. And that's why a lot of fan games, if they get too big, get shut down, because you have to.
Yeah.
That's the nature of, you know, IP law. This is one that when Christian saw it, I mean, by sheer luck, Christian was there. And Zhonghui was able to talk to him. And Christian, you know, is a fan and gets it and is a big supporter of the community. He's in the Ask Capcom forums constantly. He's very vocal. And, like, he saw this game and was like, this is good. And thinking in the back of his head, we have a Street Fighter anniversary that's going to end around December for our big grand finals. Mega Man's anniversary is like 3 days later or a week later, because the date for the finals wasn't finalized, but basically very close. These two things are butting up against each other. And here's a game from a fan who clearly loves both and is just showing this to me.
This is
pure serendipity and like clouds parting kind of thing. And he was like, you know, this is going to be really hard, but I want to try to find a way to make this happen. And then brought a build back, because he has, as long as we had builds on him, of the game as it was. And there was only four levels, maybe even only three levels free at the time that were built. And he gave it to me and Greg Moore, other community guy who's another big Mega Man fan, who was hired to work on Legends 3, by the way.
Oh.
That was his actual job. So like we balance each other out, because, you know, I know more Classic and X, but Greg, when we talk about Legends, like, he's the guy who can actually bring something to the table, and that was his job.
Yeah.
He ran aspects of the dev room, and I mean, you know, Greg's voice in this was really important as well. So we played it, and I mean, I spent a lot of time playing this, but within the first 10 minutes, I was already like, no, this is good. Like, it's really good. Like,
yeah.
I play a lot of Mega Man fan games. I play the original games over and over again, and it just, like, it felt right. It looked like a real thing. But more importantly, like, the philosophy, and I mentioned this before in other places, but the game design, it just felt right. It felt like a Mega Man game.
Yeah,
it didn't feel like a lazy set of levels. Like, I don't know, what's a Mega Man level made up? This stuff, I guess. And you jump and shoot, and I made a game.
I realize now I should have explained at the start. In case you don't know, Street Fighter Cross Mega Man is an 8-bit style Mega Man game where instead of the Robot Masters, you battle different Street Fighter characters. And like, I think Lucas and I both played it, right?
Yeah, it was legit. It had the quality of a... original
Mega
Man.
That's how I felt, too. Like, the jumps are 8 NES Mega Man jumps.
And I mean, that's one of the things.
Buster shoots out.
I mean, this kind of gets back on the point, but to that, like, when you mentioned jumps specifically. So, like, I was playing this, and then so when I gave this kind of, you know, thumbs up, like, yes, this is good. Like, this is a great beginning. And he was like, I want to try to get him to finish it. And Chris is Christian, and he's like, I'm going to make sure that all the legal things we have to do, because U.S. owns Street Fighter IP and Japan owns Mega Man, so we have to make sure that all various producers and the right people know and everyone's on board and everyone's cool with that, and there's a lot of agreements that have to happen. Not to mention a very small timetable for this to occur, because this is mid-July, and this to happen in
clock
December.
Was ticking.
Yeah,
clock
Evo's
ticking.
In the summer, and you've got a hard date of December 17th.
It has to be ready by then. No ifs, ands, or buts. And then also between then we have TGS, Gamescom, PAX Prime, San Diego Comic Con was the next week. Like, all kinds of trade shows that just gobble up tons of time. Like, people, like, I mean, the sheer amount of people who aren't in the office when those shows are going on means work can't get done.
Right.
So that really meant we got to move fast. But it did, and... So then, like, every week, certain points, every 48 hours, Zhonghui had a new build of the game where he would tweak a certain thing, and I'd be like, oh, hey, the fall rate, when I walk off the edge, it feels like I fall too fast. And I'd record a little Fraps video of, like, look at me falling here, and then look at Mega Man 2 or 3. He's not falling the same rate. And he's like, oh, well, let me check. Okay. And we'd just go back and forth like this. And, you know, I'd ask, like, oh, hey, how about this? And he would say... I'm trying to think of an actual example, but something where I would be like, oh, should we fix this? And he'd be like, no, and here's why. And he'd have a reason, and I'd be like, okay, I got you. But it was very collaborative, and it wasn't just me. It was also producer Michael Evans. Once he was assigned to it, he was playing it a ton and also helped, you know, fine-tune some of the other little bugs, like, oh, we noticed the ladder when you try to climb. Sometimes you get off-synced. You don't get synced up with the ladder.
That's something I noticed about that game is that, like, the ladders are – it's got some of the weirdest ladders I've seen in Mega Man games.
Is that a Future Games Radar article?
Weirdest ladders. Oh, man, you're still giving us good features.
I know. Every time I talk.
Is that pro bono, Brett?
Yeah, absolutely free. Please continue. Wait, can we think of any other ladders for this list, though? I really want to think about this. Weirdest ladders. The point is there's an article here.
Like, just, you can go with a history of ladders. You start with, like, the Donkey Kong ladder.
Okay. And
Chris, you got any ladders to suggest?
Not off the top of my head, I'm afraid.
Oh, come on, y'all. The Nintendo
The ones
power.
From Wrecking Crew.
All right.
Wrecking Crew ladders.
You could smash those, couldn't you?
See how fast I could derail this entire thing.
Yeah, you did. Anyway, yeah, I was used to climbing regular ladders in Mega Man, not, like, double helixes or
So like Rose's level, so again, like the levels are very, this is something else that was very apparent immediately, was the levels are very much themed after the boss. So like Rose's level has tarot cards and some mystical things going on. Dalsum also has a mystical edge to him, mm-hmm. where it's like a maze and there's actual like paths that don't go anywhere. And
I loved Rolento stage having the elevator that you go on in Final Fight.
Exactly. So yeah, Rolento's levels right out of like Final Fight 2, or you know, a little bit of Alpha in there, or Alpha 2, and it's just like, it really felt like, you know, Zhongui considered like, here's the boss, this would be a theme for the level that also happens to match up with like some recurring Mega Man tropes that show up, construction mm-hmm. background, some sort of underwater or foresty thing, like Wood Man or Napalm Man have things like that. Like there's some tropes that he calls on, and so when you get to Rose's level, the ladders aren't just ladders. They're kind of this ornamental helix thing. Or the Urian level is a cage that you can actually climb on diagonally, which is not a common thing.
Yeah, it was weird. It felt weird.
Yeah, and that's why I'm like, the Urian level is like probably my favorite level of the eight mm-hmm. Robot Masters.
I'm trying to think what was my favorite. I played them all. I liked Dalsum. I like that you could go the wrong way in Dalsum stages, and then you'd go back to the root screen, and then I'd see the arrow in the back. Like, oh, duh, I was supposed to go left.
Yeah,
like,
but you're ruining the surprise for me.
Oh, I mean, dope.
So here's a question: did you guys, because you know Henry, I'd consider you a normal person.
Yes.
did you find it like too hard, too easy, more appropriate than other games? Or
yeah, that's what I was gonna mention too. Is that you know, some people have different feelings on this, but I felt 9 and to a lesser extent 10 were almost like too hard. They were like too cruel. Though Mega Man games were never, they were always kind of challenging. But
yeah, but I have my own thoughts on that. But
I felt Street Fighter Cross Mega Man was an attainable level of difficulty. Like there were definitely hard bits. I died a lot, and it took me more than a few tries to beat a few of the stages, but I felt like it was within my grasp. Like
okay,
I felt like I wasn't being screwed by enemy placement, though there were tricky enemy placements you had to be prepared for.
Yeah. And that's like, that was kind of the goal, was we wanted a typical person who maybe hasn't played a Mega Man since 2, maybe heard about 9 and 10 but didn't bother downloading them. Whatever. The point was, a typical person could play this and theoretically finish it, or at the very least beat a few levels, feel like they enjoyed themselves, and leave with a positive impression. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends that aren't in the industry, have nothing to do with this. They just, you know, they downloaded Mega Man 9 and they just kind of quit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not what I don't like hearing that story either, because, you know, I actually reviewed it for Games Radar, but I beat all three versions of it.
Well, you and Nintendo Power revealed
Mega Man
9. Revealed
Mega Man 9. Right. Mm-hmm. That was pretty awesome.
You remember
awesome,
that,
actually.
Right, Chris?
That was fun.
It was super great.
Highlight.
I remember, Brett, when you came into the office and like, we're like, guys, I just saw this crazy thing.
I was beside myself. And I know there's also been some criticism of like, really, a third 8-bit game? And believe me, I know. Mm-hmm. But again, this is a fan game that was kind of handed to us.
I think another cool thing about this is I've really liked I've seen this as swag at a lot of Capcom things, but you have this lanyard with 8-bit versions of Street Fighter characters on it. So, you know, I've already enjoyed seeing 8-bit Street Fighter guys.
Yeah. And those are different versions of the sprites, too. It's not the, because Zhonghui's versions are his own design.
Okay.
Because a lot of those are like the original Mega Man sprite kind of touched up or recolored to be a different character, whereas these are very much new builds.
I was amazed that he was able to capture Urien in 8-bit form.
It's cool. Like, he's got a very angry face.
I also love how they have, like, their moves charge up, and they have a second meter on the side. They have charge for super move.
Yeah, if you know the revenge meter in Street Fighter 4, it's definitely, like, as they're dealt damage, this other meter builds, and when it builds, they can do an ultra, and it's, like, right out of Street Fighter 4. And if you know your Street Fighter moves, especially 4, like, the first level I played was Blanka, and when I got to Blanka, I'm like, as a Blanka player, like, when I see him going for the hop, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what he's going to do. Like, he's going to do the hop roll, so I know I need to slide because I'm Mega Man. And in that moment, I was firing off both Street Fighter part of my brain and my Mega Man part of my brain. So the fact that they were both happening was amazing. And then I see Ryu going for an ultra. I'm like, oh, I know Ryu's going to be a huge Hadouken, so I probably can't slide. I'm going to have to jump. But I know if I'm super close, he can show Ryuken. So maybe I should back up and try to, like, and I'm actually thinking about this stuff.
Footsies and Mega Man.
Yeah, it's definitely a footsies thing. And it's like, that's why, again, this was like not just a game that was dismissed and then killed because it was infringing on IP. It was like, there's some actual, like, you know, interesting stuff going on here.
There was another thing I noticed was that there was a lot more, like, energy canceling in this game, like using a laser to kill another laser.
Yeah, so projectiles typically will cancel each other out. And then, as you might have seen, we did a Unity stream last week when this airs.
Yeah.
The magic of
this
time.
This is live.
The magic of, the magic of time. Like the Aegis reflector will actually reflect projectiles back and, you know.
Which looks pretty sweet in some boss fights.
It's super cool. And it's just neat because you can put down two at a time. Mm-hmm. So the idea of, like, putting one on the left and right of Mega Man and just letting all the stuff bounce off of you is pretty neat.
Also, I love that the, like, when you get the Yoga Flame, that you can direct it. Like, when I figured that out, too. That
you'll hang in the air for a second. You can actually direct the flame. There's all kinds of little things. And actually, the last week of development was, like, not just, like, bug smashing and trying to make sure that, you know, little things that we notice, like, oh, hey, this, if this scenario happens, the game kind of weirds out. You know, any kind of typical final polish pass. We're also trying to find some other little things to just slide in there that are fun. So little things like that, like being able to direct the Yoga Flame, like, that's just cool.
I won't ruin it, but I also love the bit where when you get a new power and it, it's play on the classic style of Mega Man gets this new power. Yeah, here's how it works. Like, well, it's such a cool scene.
Yeah. People who played it at the event would have seen that as well as the stream. But yeah, it's another way to get one more Street Fighter character in there. And be his usual.
Maybe I've already seen by now.
Oh yeah,
yeah, right. And so he can be his usual punching bag self.
Yeah. So like we said, it's going to be available on Mega Man's anniversary day, the 17th, on Capcom Unity.
Yep. If you go to Capcom Unity, I'm sure there will be a story or seven pointing you towards it. but again, I just urge you to download from us on unity.com/mega_man because
you guys have been. I've got the feeling you guys have been winking a bit that this isn't the end of Mega Man's 25th anniversary.
Oh, certainly right? Said that as much. And I know there was some, like, there's a lot of things, a lot of reactions to this. Mostly positive. And I'm, like, more than elated that so many people are pleased with this. Because I've been psyched since July when I saw it. And all politics, I mean, the past 2 years, everything aside, like, this game's just fun. And it's, like, the happiest I've been since I started at Capcom. And I just want everyone to play it and enjoy it. Like, there's no sneaky anything going on here. There's no scam.
It's for God's sake.
Yeah, like, there's
you're
nothing.
You're not going to post it for, like, 20 minutes and then just I'm like, God, it's canceled.
Yeah, nothing going on like that. It's just, it's a happy moment for everyone involved. Everyone came out positive. It was super cool. But I forgot the original point of the statement.
No, I was winding down our Street Fighter Cross Mega Man.
But that's not the end of the anniversary. Like that was the point. Is that this is kind of the kickoff, the 17th, and this is a great opener, as Christian has put it. Like, this is something that we could get in time, and this is a great way to start it off. Just pure serendipity that this game was in the works, and Christian had enough, you know, foresight to think about that and start getting the ball rolling to make it actually happen. But we'll have more news throughout 2013 as well. So, and I'm running most of those Mega Man 25th anniversary meetings. I'm reading forums, obviously, and just trying to get, you know, I want to do as much stuff as humanly possible. But, you know, there's only so many things you can do. And I just want to make sure we both set expectations, but then also not let everyone think that this is it. Like, we're certainly not done.
Cool. All right. Well, speaking of the rest of Mega Man's 25th anniversary here, so Chris, you posted, it went up today, 25 things we love about Mega Man 25 years later.
Right.
So I wanted to touch on a couple of them. These are just like little things we all love about Mega Man.
My phone still recognizes the Wi-Fi here, by the way.
Nice. Are you on 101 or future guest?
Probably 101.
Don't give away the secret, Henry.
Well, I didn't say what the password was.
Password is Games Radar.
All right, so I wanted to talk about a couple of them. First one I wanted to say, like you pointed out, awesome music.
Yes.
I also think, I know Brent would... could talk about this for a good hour or so. I think Mega Man does have some of the best music like in game history. Like
definitely.
Chris, are you more a fan of the 8-bit or 16-bit soundtracks? Or
well, I think I have to lean really heavily towards the 8-bit stuff, especially the first two games. The stuff composed by Yuka-chan's papa is fantastic. I love Mega Man 1, Mega Man 2. I also really like the first Mega Man X as well. That stuff stuck with me a whole lot.
Yeah. A lot of electric guitar in there.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say the X soundtrack, I mean, goes much more, tries to go more of a rock aspect, ironically, considering it's Rockman. But whereas the Mega Man games, I would say, it's much more of a rhythm guitar kind of feeling, a rhythm and bass guitar thing. Like, compared to other NES soundtracks of the day, especially in 1987, like this is a thing like why I've written so much about the original Mega Man. Like the first game, is this an appropriate time to go into?
Yeah,
I don't want to like jump the gun. Here's my philosophy on
do it, Brett. Let's do it.
But just like so, there's a number of things. One, well, I don't want to spoil the whole list if I end up breaking down every single thing. I'll stick with the music. Complexity, like comparing it to other things of the day, like by 1987, there wasn't a whole lot of NES stuff going on. Like Castlevania is the only other thing I would compare it to. Like Mario and Zelda have these iconic themes that are like,
Mario's ground theme is so iconic, but it's like, it doesn't mix.
Can you keep, levels you keep going?
Rest of the podcast.
Nah, I'm going to stop there.
But yeah, and then you get to Mega Man. It's like there's an extra layer of complexity going on that made them not just immediately recognizable, but like they really stuck with you. And the important thing for me for the music was that it was very much tying a theme to a character. And as near as I could tell, that's the first instance of that happening in games. Now, I don't know my ZX Spectrum and my C64, but as far as the Atari and the NES go, I don't know of any game that did that before where you would directly attribute that's Cutman's theme, that's Bumman's theme, that's Fireman's theme. And again, it goes to giving the robot masters, you're putting these characters on the same level as you. That's what made those characters so defining, which again, I might be veering into a different topic, I'm not sure. But having that music, it all felt so important. Like it wasn't just I'm going to level 1, 2, 3, 4, giving me the choice to choose is a horrible sentence.
Yeah. Well, now that's another one on the list, like the openness of those games. Like you could play any stage you wanted, but there was a certain order to them, right? I mean, and that was part of the fun too, like clawing your way to the end, to the final boss, and then testing out what weapons you had, like if you had the killer one.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, experimentation was, for me, that's like the biggest thing that I feel it's almost taken for granted as you move more and more into the series is how cool that ability is. Like, he can do anything. Like, a lot of games just have a magic reason why, like, in Castlevania you'll get a magic talisman. Now you can turn into a bat. Why? Because! And I don't need a reason. It's fun. I don't need a reason. But for Mega Man, it's like, no, I have a copy chip and I can do that and that's my adaptable robot. Like, that's my bit. And that's why I can do this. And that's why I can't, like, go copy a human's ability because they're biological and it's not what I do. And that's just... That's pretty neat.
Well, Lucas, can you... Lucas and Chris, what are some of your favorite songs? I know the tune that sticks with me, I just love hearing that, like, the whistle when Proto Man shows up, like, three, just the... it's so cool.
Ominous.
Yeah, do you guys remember...
I'd have to go with Bubble Man. That was, like, the first... Mm.
That was pretty solid.
Yeah, that was the first Mega Man song I ever heard remixed, and I wasn't aware that there are like dozens and dozens of remixes out there for Bubble Man and just Mega Man music in general.
Definitely go to ocremix.org.
It is a treasure trove.
Bubble Man especially has, I think Soapy Water is one of the really good remixes. And,
I think I have that burned on a CD somewhere.
It's, Bubble Man has a lot of good stuff.
Chris?
I mean, all the stuff from Mega Man 1 and 2 is really good. It's hard to go wrong with the Dr. Wily theme from Mega Man 2. Mm-hmm. I think that's been remixed a lot.
Which played on the VGAs, no less.
That's right. Yeah, I couldn't believe that when I heard
that.
It got voted in.
I think that was one. I think that was one of the best VGAs they've had yet. Like, that was one of my. Anyway, that's all another thing.
But
Crash Man's probably my all-time favorite. There's just something super funky about that's unlike anything else.
Crash the 70s Man is a great remix at Overclock. It's very funky, as you might suspect.
Man, I forgot Overclock, not even just Mega Man music, but the remixes.
Care a lot.
That's hardcore.
See, listeners out there, if you didn't know that Brett really cared about Mega Man, he really does.
Games Radar listeners who probably had enough of me talking about this.
Maybe so. Okay, also wanted to touch on there, the bosses selecting stages, but there's also Epic Story, which, Chris, you had mentioned that, like, how they all kind of connect, like, Mega Man leads into X, which leads into ZX, and... Mm-hmm. Is Battle Network in there somewhere too, or that just decided?
I don't think Battle Network is in there. I mean, when I talked to Inafune about this, several years ago, he said that the Battle Network stuff was totally separate.
Yeah.
He also said though that the Legends games were separate, and
that's what I've always been told.
Yeah. You know, it seems like there is some debate on this, and there are
there's debate
allusions
that it might be like really far in the future. Mm-hmm. I don't, know. Either way.
But yeah, just the story of like two is just so amazing to me. Like that it starts with like such a great opening. Like the way it tells the story, I guess really it's the storytelling of two that I like. That it tells it with an opening and this like shot you wouldn't see in any other NES game of that time. Definitely,
it was definitely
like camera moving up a building.
A production.
Yeah, a production.
That was not. Present.
And then ending with like Mega Man like walking off into the distance and leaving
the helmet is left behind.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that is, as I've said before, that ending made me cry.
Like, you weren't sure if is Mega Man dead?
Yeah, because I thought he died, and I'm like, I played this for so long to get this ending, and I was probably 8 or 9, and I remember running into the bedroom and crying at my mom, Mega Man's dead!
That's so sad.
Wait, who died? What? And then I go back to the, look, and there's just, by that time I walk back and this incredibly happy, silly credits music is playing.
I love the credits music, too. That credits music, when they go into the extra part at the end, that's also awesome.
That's really great.
Sorry.
I will say about the music for Street Fighter Cross Mega Man, A Rival did the soundtrack, and it's exceptional.
I love the soundtrack was, you guys had the demo unit set up really well, these super fancy headphones, put them on, and the music sounded bass,
He did a fantastic job mixing Street Fighter and Mega Man music. So the more you know both bodies of work for Mega Man and Street Fighter music, you will enjoy the soundtrack that much more. And the credits music especially is a great mashup of two credits musics that is just perfect.
Because when we got to play against all 8 of the stages, but the final levels were locked off. So I'm
intentionally
not...
locked. We wanted to leave something that wouldn't just be immediately put out there.
My hope is that it ends with Wily and Bison, they team up together, but then they both reveal that they're aliens. I hope the ending is.
Well, that's actually pretty good, but that's definitely not what happened. I actually do like that a lot.
There's always a sequel, right?
The alien part is another thing that's one of my favorite thing in any of the Mega Man games. Because it's just so ridiculous and crazy. It's like, oh my god, Dr. Wily's really an alien.
But in that weird moment, the first time you see that, you're just like, everything has changed.
Yep.
I don't even know what has happened. And then the whole build up to that level where there's no music, a game that's been very aggressive with this music the whole time is now no music and just trickling acid in a cave. And then you open the door, and then, oh, there's Dr. Wily. He can fly now. And then he turns into an alien. It's like, I have no idea what's happening anymore.
And even before that, though, when they draw the extra level on the map, because there's nothing there, it's like, oh, look, haha, we were tricking you.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, we're tricking you again. Here we go. He's an alien. That's why he's so crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Like, I get asked a lot, like in interviews and even at Radar when we were just.
Just hanging.
For feature lists or when people would ask, like, in comments and stuff, like, your favorite Mega Man, and it still is 2. Yeah. And even though that's the obvious, easy answer, it's like, that's the reason why that we just went through. Like, every moment of it is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it stands up to this day, and I would still argue, like, when we did 100 Best Games.
Actually, when we updated our 100 Best Games list there, I won't name names, but there was at least one in there. It was like... this is supposed to be games that are great now. Like Mega Man 2 doesn't hold up that much. We don't have that many other 8-bit games on here. And then
the rest of us shouted
that person down. And we're like, no, it's the best. It's other than Mario 3, which is higher on our list. It's the best 8-bit game ever. It is the apotheosis of 8-bit greatness.
If you're going to pick a game to represent 8-bit 2D games, mm-hmm. I can't. Fathom something better. Mario 3 is definitely like, well, yeah, it's a just iconic classic, but it's like
Mega
Man 2.
But if I were to tell somebody to play a Mario game, I could also say, or you could play Mario World or Mario 1, but like, Mega Man 2 is... Yeah. I think because Mega Man 2 is like so beloved, I think it sometimes overshadows 3. Like, 3 is really great, too. Like, I do.
3, it's weird, because 3... I love the...
Gemini Man is one of my favorite Mega Man stages there is.
It's very cool.
And it has
robot penguins shooting other penguins at you.
And that cool dramatic moment where Proto Man just flies down and like blows up the rock and you fall down.
The whatever that is that he's blowing up.
Yeah.
It's like some kind of metal seal.
Generator or something.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, 3 is strong. 4 is actually the one I'm probably the least familiar with.
That's the one I read the most in the old issue of Nintendo Power I had.
Oh,
just
yeah.
looking at all the hand-drawn levels.
Man, that
January 92.
That Mega Man 2 clay cover, I couldn't even tell you how much I read that. Like, just one. Over and over and over again.
Was 4 the one where you could wear Rush? Is that the one?
No, that was 6.
The Super Adapter.
I didn't like that.
No one seems to like 6, but I think that was...
6 is one of my,
good.
Yeah, I have no...
I've had a latter-day appreciation for 7.
Yeah,
this year,
because
we did it on Unity, on our twitch.tv/CapcomUnity, where we do our live streams,
mm-hmm.
We've done all year a beat a Mega Man game every stream, and, you know, Greg and I would trade off. You know, I did 1, he did 2, I did 3, he did 4, I did 5, he did 6, and then I did 7 in July, and 7 was, outside of 4, the other one that I knew, like, kind of the least about. I just really didn't. I played it a little when it came out, mm-hmm. and was like, Mega Man X is way better, bye. And like
it was
most
a weird step back.
Like most people did. But then I started playing it again, and I'm like, you know, I don't like the flow of this. It's just a slower... I don't know. Mega Man itself is a much slower game than X. Like, it is mm-hmm. a different... It's not the same thing. It's a different kind of game. So, like... But 7, something about it just... It's a little slower overall.
It's, like, chunkier. Almost.
Yeah. There's just something going on that shakes up your expectations, and you're like, in a bad way. But then as I played it more and more, and... saw like a lot of little things that were going on the levels, and like some of the thought about like hiding things and secrets, and like getting Proto Man's shield and getting the super adapter and getting the ability to shoot your fist out in the super adapter, like, and it's stuff that 6 kind of started,
mm-hmm.
but after messing with it a lot, I actually really enjoyed Mega Man 7, and the Wily battle at the end is notoriously one of the most difficult / awful boss fights ever. And one of the challenges I got from the Mega Man Network is Heat Man at Mega Man Network would give us challenges every month. Like, if you can do this, we'll have, you know, Bretmas or something. Like, and they made little graphics for it, and it was fun. The site's awesome. So shout out to the Mega Man Network. One of them was for me. It was like, oh, if you can do this, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. And if you really want to push it, you can try to beat Wily without using any energy tanks or dying. And I was like, I'll try. And then I get to the end, and I'm like, never. It will never happen.
Yeah.
But then I just sat there, and I practiced it for, like, I mean, like, I bet 3-4 days, that's all I did when I got home. If I had time at work, I would come home, and I would just play Mega Man 7, and I would just fight Wily over and over again. And I got to the point where I finally did it. And that boss now, I realize, is, like, as with most things, where you're like, this is impossible,
mm-hmm.
It's just a pattern. And you just have to get to that point where you can recognize within 1 second exactly what he's going to do and then dodge. And you have to, like, jump, slide, like, in different directions to miss the attack he's doing. That's but when you do it, it was, like, the most gratifying or satisfying, like, moment I think I've had in Mega Man in my life. Where I'm just like, and I jumped up to run around the room, but when I jumped up, I kicked over the mic stand.
That's how I kind of felt with the... In X4, I felt the Sigma battle in X4 was really hard.
Yeah, it is. It's a pain.
I feel like he's like a four-stager in that one.
It's three, I think.
Or three, maybe so. Was three on the PlayStation? Or
four was
three? Three was Super Nintendo.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Three, I think, was Saturn. As well as Super NES.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Well, actually, why don't we talk about what our favorite or least favorite boss fights were in Mega Man? Lucas and Chris.
Oh, God, I think for me it was the spider in Mega Man X, the first, like, Wily boss that you fight. It wasn't that hard, but at the time when I was playing, I was probably, like, 12. It would eat up, like, all my weapon resources. Uh-huh. So for everything after that, I would just be miserable because I wouldn't have anything.
That's true. And was it in X, the first X where you could do a Hadouken, or was that...
Yeah, that was the first X. After you die five times in the Armadillo stage, like, who's going to think of that on their own?
Well, my friend showed me that after, I'm sure he'd read it in a magazine. My mind was blown.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But Chris, could you think of, like, a boss memory?
I remember a lot of the bosses in, Mega Man Network Transmission, the GameCube one.
I remember that.
That were kind of miserable and suck because I would always get the wrong weapons and I'd get creamed. Uh-huh. But, that was, you know, not fun just because, you know, they were, you know, like, challenging in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But also I go back to that Mega Man 7 final boss. I remember just spending hours trying to beat that guy, and like I was supposed to go out and do something with my friends, and they were hanging out with me. Like, come on, Chris, give it up. You're not going to beat this guy. I'm like, oh, I am so going to beat this guy now. So I don't want to say it's like my least favorite, but certainly it was a tough challenge.
I
just recently played through Mega Man 4 on Game Boy. Because I'd never actually played 4 or 5 on Game Boy. Well,
oh my god,
that's with like the planetary bosses.
Yeah, the Star Drones.
5. Yeah.
Or well, for that matter, I didn't play 3, 4, or 5 because I played 1 when it came out, and I was like, "It's on 3DS eShop."
Yeah,
I don't know. That's one that has, I think, more nostalgia attached to it. Like Mega Man 1 is still totally awesome, but the Game Boy games got better as they went, and I think Mega Man 4 is maybe the first time the Game Boy games got it like really right. Mm-hmm. And but there's a boss in the Wily areas. I forgot what it is, but it's like just some. It's not even a boss. It's like a mini boss. But it happens twice in the same level, and it's just a Met on a giant cannon. And it's like I can only be hit in one frame, and I shoot two really. really slow things at you, and you can't dot. You can't do anything about it. It's just like go. Come on, go.
When I was like 9. I thought Yellow Devil. Right, that's the.
Yeah.
Mm. I thought Yellow Devil was impossible. I was like, well, there's just no beating him. It's just. And now you look at it on YouTube, and there is the.
Oh, yeah.
Like there is the exact pattern to never be hit, and once you see it, you're like, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, and I'll never be hit again.
And that's kind of the fun of Mega Man, and that's that's something that. I don't know that there's a moment quite like that in Street Fighter Cross Mega Man because, again, that's kind of a potential equivalent of a shelf moment and where a large percentage of people might just be like, I don't know. Because when you're a kid and you're a teenager and you got nothing but time, it's like, well, yeah, I'm just going to keep doing it until I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all we did. But if I came up against the Yellow Devil now, like as a 20-something, this is the first Mega Man game I played, or even a 30-something since the Mega Man or first Mega Man game I played since I was a kid, and I fight this thing 4 or 5 times and I keep dying. It's like, whatever.
I've got other stuff to do.
So
I have to go grocery shopping.
I have to go grocery shopping and pick up my stupid kids.
Who needs that?
But the hope was that you could Street Fighter Cross Mega Man, like you can play through this. Now we don't have anything. We're still obviously discussing what's going on next. A lot of internal discussions about that, as has been said in other interviews. But I wouldn't necessarily think that, quote, easy games is the way it's going to go, nor would it be like crushingly difficult. There just needs to be a better balance. And that'll be something to keep in mind.
Okay. All right. And now, as we're reaching the end here, I did want to go over just quickly, like, your...
I'm trying to find this article on the website, which has been redesigned into some form of...
wizardry.
Live tiles on my... You turned my phone into a Windows phone somehow?
It's our sexy new redesign.
So where do I find a feature that was posted today?
You'll find it in the stream very easily. Come on, what are you talking about? in the stream. Which one are you looking for?
The Mega Man one.
Oh, that was posted on Saturday.
This is time travel deal.
Oh, wait, yeah. Well, Brad, obviously you're looking at Wednesday's version of the site, not Monday, so you're not going to see the feature.
Oh, but you said today. You meant, like, future
today. I mean today, Monday the 17th, when
here it is. I found it.
See?
Please tell me the next entry so I can confirm that.
There's one last entry. I didn't want to go over all 25. Chris, you mentioned you put Sheepman on the list. Why? What's this affinity for Sheepman?
Because Sheepman is hilarious. I mean,
pretty awesome.
You know, there are so many rather, I don't want to say mundane, but things that are expected, you know, with Iceman and Coldman and Flameman and Fireman.
All the different variations on cold and hot man.
Yeah, all the different elements and things like that. And, you know, guys with swords and blades and knives and things like that. And, you know, you get your Snake Man, your Toad Man, but then Sheep Man is just so far out there. And I'm like, wow, this character is kind of adorable. And he has blue eyes. And he's a sheep.
And then his power is based off static electricity of his wool. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is pretty cute.
I think my least favorite was Clown Man. I think because especially because when he enters, he says, I'm Clown Man.
Well, that's,
all those voices
that's
were...
Mega Man 8 in a nutshell.
Yeah. Mega Man 8, I think, has a lot of good qualities to it. Voices not being one of them. But
voices are challenging stuff.
Why must I fight you, Bass?
Mega Man screams
bass.
For like bass, 30 seconds. There's also a good one where Dr. Light like flubs a line and just
says
it
repeatedly.
It's like
there's a whole Elmer Fudd thing too.
Yeah,
Dr. Wiley.
Find energy, Dr. Wiley.
And it's just like, please.
Also, like Mega Man like screams for like 2 minutes straight while being like electric. I don't want to talk about Mega Man's bad memories. So.
Yeah,
let's talk about some good memories.
The level design is actually really cool though, and a lot of the Robot Master levels are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, the Wily Jet Sled Rocket Skate area is it's a Battletoad speed tunnel. So
that was
if that makes you react appropriately,
That was another thing I liked about Street Fighter Cross Mega Man, and I'm saying right, it's not X-Man, it's Cross, just like the...
Yeah, okay.
Is that...
Other people don't use that terminology?
Is that... I think it was Blanka's power-up really reminded me of the soccer ball power-up from Mega Man 8.
It's kind of similar. The Tropical Hazard.
It was a nicer reminder.
Yeah, you can interact with that thing in fun ways. Like, try sliding into it, jumping on it, do a push-up on it, eat an egg on it.
Oh, so now at the end here, let's talk about some of our favorite Mega Man memories or earliest ones too. I'll get us started. So I didn't,
thanks.
So I didn't play the first Mega Man when it came out. Like I got to know Mega Man through Mega Man 2 when we rented it from our local not Blockbuster, the thing that existed before Blockbuster killed it. I'm sure.
Yeah,
but
local mom and pop rental store with the porn closet in the back.
We didn't. I have no memory of that because I was the second I saw the video games, I wasn't looking for anything else.
Right.
So me and my brother rented it. Like we played for a weekend. It was like a revelation. We're like, oh my god, what is this thing? Like I feel like we made our mom rent it at least like 7 different times. We never bought it. We only rented it, but we rented it over and over again. And like my little brother, he's the biggest Mega Man fan. I still love Mega Man too, but like he started drawing Mega Man bosses all the time, and like he just was so obsessed over it.
Then
we rented 1 and 2, 1 and 3 as well. Like so, this must have been like 1990 or 1989 when I first discovered Mega Man because those 3 were out.
Three was 1990. So,
and I also remember, and it's still something I do to this day. I never just want to walk to the next screen in a level. I either want to slide or jump.
Of course.
Once I get to the end of the screen, like, what boring people just walk to the next screen? Like, it's lame.
Sometimes you got
to
mix it up.
Yeah, sometimes Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just have to walk through the door because you've jumped in the last 700 doors.
Sometimes you have to go through it backwards while riding on item 2.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's pretty good. And I love on Iceman's level or any kind of slippery level, you can turn around and moonwalk into the door.
Yep. Oh, those are great. Yeah.
Very important.
That's pretty cool.
To this day, I still have... in third grade, I drew a Mega Man storybook that was mostly me tracing art out of Mega Man, the Nintendo Power with Mega Man 2. Mm-hmm. And I would trace art out of there and on wide-ruled notebook paper and then stapled it together. And then anything I tried to draw myself is – it's like you know when people try to like intentionally draw bad, like to draw like like an adult will draw what he thinks a kid would draw? Like it looks like that. Where you're like, someone make fun of a kid drawing and it's like, well, no, kids actually draw that crappy. And it's like, no, it really is. I tried to draw like Cut Man and it's like, what is that?
Did you guys ever try to make like your own stage layouts on paper?
I did. With I found like grid paper and would like try to do a thing. And
I was addicted to that. For
I might have a little bit anyway.
I definitely did that when Doom came out, and then WADed the WAD editor program, which the levels are called WADs in Doom, by the way. If you need clarification on that,
in case you were lost.
Unrelated to Mega Man.
Yeah, but like to designing levels, Doom is where I just went nuts. That was super fun.
I think my favorite memory isn't from actually playing, but it's from going to Speed Demos Archive and discovering the fact that there were these Mega Man speedrunners and seeing two done in like, God, I think it's like 12 minutes or something insane like that. It was utterly like mind warping because the glitches they can do like without tool assistance or anything. It's just, it's crazy.
Chris?
Oh, man. It's hard to think of, you know, just one or even just a couple. I mean, I really like just, you know, discovering the original Mega Man because, you know, there really wasn't any way to find out about this stuff other than word of mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't, you know, that was even pre-Nintendo Power. Yeah. So, you know, like, my friend got it for Christmas, and I'm like, huh, you got something called Mega Man? That doesn't sound very good. And he showed me the box. I'm like, well, this looks terrible in this description on the back, you know, about these robot kingdoms or whatever makes no sense at all.
Yeah, Monsteropolis.
Yeah, well, there's something even more bizarre than that. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but you know, the four or six kingdoms or whatever. But you know, then I played it. I'm like, oh my god, this is fantastic! And I couldn't find the game anywhere. I wanted to buy it, and I end up buying it off some kid at school for like $30, which was pretty much for a used game back then.
That's all the money you have as a kid.
Yeah, yeah, but you know. Playing Mega Man 2 was great, and then there's just been lots of things since then. Also, yeah, getting Mega Man 3 for Christmas one year, another great memory for me.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But, you know, getting to see, you know, like Brett talked about, you know, getting to see Mega Man 9 and 10 initially before they came out, and just be able to be part of that announcement.
That was pretty crazy, yeah. Going into what I now know is actually the Mega Man conference room in Capcom's office, the fact that now just a weird, you know, like a bookend kind of thing where like in 2008 going into Capcom's office because they knew, oh, there's a guy that knows this stuff and he needs to be brought into this. And
they were already making their plans.
Yeah, just like and being able to see that early and like and then now being in that room and like that's the Mega Man room. Like it's right it's in between the Lost Planet and Monster Hunter meeting rooms. And like that's just super weird to like now being there.
You had no idea going in that it was going to be 8-bit, right? Like that was. Just
I think by then
they
I knew.
Might you would, have told us.
Yeah.
And I didn't really believe them. I'm like, no, they wouldn't do that. It's probably going to be more like 7 or something.
Yeah.
But you know, lo and behold, there it was.
Yeah.
Well, I do think like Mega Man has like the perfect sprite, just this like jump, like that's.
Yeah,
they never changed it for like all those games.
Well, this is kind of a funny thing. 2010, I think. I did like an article for Radar that was like video game characters then and now, and it was like, you know, here's Donkey Kong then and now, here's Mario then and now, Link then and now, Solid Snake then and now, like all kinds of Mickey Mouse, Batman did all kinds of stuff, and then the joke was Mega Man.
Same.
It was the exact same because Mega Man 9 had come out and 10 was about to, and it was like haha, and everyone, you know, and that was
we all had fun.
That was a happy time, but going back to that sprite, another thing about Mega Man 1 that was so entrancing immediately was not just that the sprite was, you know, very striking, a big, big face, and a lot of the emphasis put on the face and the eyes, but that the eyes blinked.
Oh, yeah.
And that level of detail was not common at all, not just then, but even a while after. I mean, Sonic kind of popularized the idea of an idle animation of tapping his foot, and then every game after that had to have something, and then Bubsy just, you know, we'll all remember Bubsy. But then Mega Man having this thing where he would stop and blink is just like, what? Like, that's so humanizing and just such a great touch. And then also one of my favorite things ever in all of video games is just barely tapping the D-pad, and he'll just inch forward, and there's a separate animation of his toe barely moving. And the 9 and 10 kept that as well. It's like being able to inch up to the very edge of a platform to test the absolute maximum width of a jump, or like how close can I get to this before the hitbox connects.
Yeah.
And it's super fun.
I think I'm too cautious of Mega Man. I'm always like, that's why the disappearing platform stages were the hardest for me.
Yeah. those are definitely,
I want to take my time in Mega Man, but in those it's like, no, jump.
Die, try it again.
But that's another one of the philosophy of Mega Man, which is introduce something to you in a controlled environment, and then we're going to ramp it up over time, and then eventually you're going to have to do all this crazy stuff with no safety net. And it's like almost any time you see a disappearing block maze, it's like there's ground underneath, there's no enemies or whatever. The next one, there might be little enemies scuttling across the bottom. The next one, it's a pit. And it's like you have – and there's some cool stuff like that in Street Fighter Cross Mega Man where you will be introduced to something like, and you react and you go, okay, that's what this thing does. And then two screens later, you'll see it and there's nothing but spikes around you. And you're like, oh, what do I spot? And
then you die. Right. I forgot about that. Yeah, it's out like with the falling platforms in the rock.
That was a good
Urian level. Trick.
Oh my god, and the Urian one, it has such a great fake out of it too.
The Urian level, that's why it's my favorite. It's like most Mega Man levels have a gimmick, and like that's the bit. The Urian one does like two or three, and they're all good. Actually, there are three distinct gimmicks in that level: reflecting enemies,
those reflecting enemies. That was mean.
Yeah, the fence / ladder chain link fence grid thing you climb on, that's a gimmick that's used as well. And then those falling platforms in the beginning, it's like, that's super cool. Those are great ideas, just rapid fire. That's why that level is so cool.
Have any of you guys actually gotten through Heat Man stage across those disappearing platforms without using item number 2?
I have, but it's like... No. Why would you not?
I think I've done it once. I did it once to test myself, and then like it's kind never of like, again.
Yeah, it's like you can do. It's like it's totally doable, especially towards the end. It's just kind of like keeping up, and it's not too bad. But it's like, why would I waste my time?
I'm gonna try doing it again when the game hits 3DS in North America. I think.
Okay.
I'm gonna cheat though. I'm gonna use that save feature.
It's so cruel though. God,
we'll have news about that very soon.
Also, I love trying to guess the color palette for when you get a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying like, oh, okay, you know, Heat Man, orange and red. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Boy, was it nice to get a four button layout to be able to not have to pause to change your powers and just hit the X button or whatever.
Yeah.
L and R.
Yeah, 9 and 10 do that as well. So.
Good times.
And 7.
All right, well... Yeah, we've reached the end of our Mega Man talk. We could easily talk for another 6 hours about this. But
Yeah, I could go for a while. But
thank you, everybody, for coming, especially you, Brett, from the mighty Capcom.
And I would just say as a final parting note that, again, that we're not done celebrating the 25th anniversary. It's a big deal to me, and it's a big deal to a lot of people at Capcom, and the U.S. is just kind of starting with this Street Fighter Cross Mega Man release. This is the big news for right now. It's a free full Mega Man game. I can't overstate that enough how big a deal that is. So that's kind of the big news for now. There's other news happening today on the 17th. Just some additional information about stuff we're gonna do. But again, even that is just a first blast. Like we're not done. Like this isn't it. We want to carry it into the next year as well.
If people wanted to follow you on Twitter for more information,
well, they can follow Capcom Unity on Twitter, which is at Capcom Unity. I think it's an underscore.
Okay.
I don't think dashes are allowed. I can never remember because the URL is dash unity. I'm pretty sure it's underscore then. Capcom Unity on Twitter. And there's actually an at Mega Man Twitter that I've started.
Ooh, nice.
Through...
Like with that one-up Mega Man head, right?
Yeah, with all kinds of, you know, we thankfully have the ability to go in and, you know, talk to Twitter and, like, somebody had at Mega Man and hadn't tweeted in, like, about 3 years. And we're just, like, you know, being able to get that back is nice. But then I found somebody who was like, oh, my God, it was, like, Mega underscore Man. And it was like, because I had to go look at like every possible iteration. I was like, I want to look for Blue Bomber. I want to look for whatever. And we just need to find the one that we can actually get. Because if someone's logging in and using it, Twitter won't let you take it back. And it's like, fair enough. You're using it. It's our bad for not getting it right away.
Yeah.
So luckily the at Mega Man was pretty basically not active at all. So that was good. But like Mega underscore Man or some other iteration of it was just had one tweet from like 2008. It's a dude in like a tank top. It's just a tweet like, hey, man, where can I get a 2x4 or something like that? And I was like, oh, okay, I want to know more about this guy.
He should be a Mega Man boss.
Story?
Yeah.
2x4 man.
2x4 man.
Lumberman. I like Lumberman.
Lumberman.
That's not bad.
Got potential.
I have to issue a cease and desist because if we ever use Lumberman... It was our idea.
We should delete this part from it. Well, anyway, if you want to follow...
Brelston is my Twitter.
Oh, okay. Sorry. And if you want to get updates on Radio Radar, the Games Radar podcast, follow GR Radio Radar on Twitter. Also, you know, as long
that's
as
a lot of ours.
Well, yeah. Also, hey, I didn't make it. and also, as long as you're listening to us, why not review us on iTunes? That'd be nice, huh?
Eh? There is also a Capcom Unity podcast.
Really?
Has episodes frequently. We kind of went off the air for several months while we traveled.
Yeah, I had noticed that.
with Comic-Con, PAX... TPS,
you gotta do what you gotta
Gamescom,
do.
After doing conventions all over
so
the world
much,
for 4 months straight.
Like I said, from June to October, I did not have a day where I was in the office all 5 days. Like most of the year. Like,
I think I remember there was a 2 week span where you were in New York, then Tokyo, or Tokyo, then New York, and then Europe or something.
There was 2 week periods regularly where I was never home and not in the office. It was a lot. But we started the podcast back up, it being the verge of the holiday season, we'll probably have another, like, 2 week, 3 week gap, like most people probably will. But we'll start some new stuff in the beginning of the year. But it is also on iTunes. It's Capcom Unity Official Podcast. We tried really hard to think of a better name. Like, me and Seth just in a room, like, Capcast, Communicast. This all sucks. I'm tired.
You gotta keep it simple.
What about the Captain Commando podcast?
That's confusing, because then what if we're not talking about Captain Commando?
Well, you should at least have like 5 minutes dedicated to Captain Commando every podcast.
Very well.
There's not a lot to go on there.
Yes.
And Brent, what's taking us out?
So I mentioned earlier A-Rival's like really incredible like blending soundtrack of the two brands. So the song to take us out is a great example of that. You may not know Rilento's theme as well as, say, Ryu or Chun-Li or something, but Rilento has a really great theme that's in Cross Tekken, it's in Alpha, it's in Final Fight. But here it is, kind of blended a bit with Gutsman. If you know Gutsman's music from Mega Man 1, you can just it's a feel. You can tell it's trying to be the two blended together. So I wanted to end with that because it's probably one of my favorite songs from the game, and it's just a great and a very quick example of the very good soundtrack that he put together.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you later. Happy birthday, Mega Man.
Bye.
Bye-bye.